Well, this morning, we're going to take a tour through a lot of scripture, but I want to ask you, just as a rhetorical question, why do we meet? Why does the church meet? Why do we gather together? What is the purpose in it? And one of the things is the fact that we're family. We are family, and family needs to get together. North America has a really different idea of family than what in Jesus' time. We think you need to grow up and move out. But that isn't what it used to be. It used to be you continued in the home, in the family, and together you worked together. You may have your own house. But you were together as family. And just like Shirley read this morning, they gathered for Shabbat, the Sabbath day, as family. And the whole focus was the family dinner together with God as the center, as the focus. So why are we meeting here this morning? And I say for those of you who are online too, why did you tune in? What is the purpose of us as a church? Well, as pastors, we're here to and come together. We want you to leave this place, number one, encouraged. Number two, built up. And number three, equipped to go out and minister. And so that's my hope this morning, that as I share the word, that you are going to leave this place at least encouraged, hopefully built up, and the desire is so encouraged, so built up, that you will feel equipped to go do the work of the ministry. All right? So this morning, like I said, we're going to go through a lot of scripture this morning, but praise God. My message title is This Changes Everything, The Work of the Cross of Jesus Christ. We're going to start with Hebrews 10, 19 to 22. I'm just going to say most of the scriptures this morning are going to be from the NIV. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincere hearts and with a full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. The cross changed everything. We are no longer under the old covenant. We have come in through a new and living way, according to Hebrews 10:20 here. The old promises of the promises of the Old Testament, as you lived in the Old Testament times, you had to work to achieve them. You had to follow the law. So you had to achieve the promises. But guess what's happened under this new covenant? You receive. You don't have to achieve. Under the new covenant, we receive the promises. And I want you to understand that the cross is that turning point. The cross of Christ changed everything. And this is not new to us. This is, you know, where most of us are most familiar with this. And sometimes we need to refresh ourselves and remind ourselves what happened and where you're standing now. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Think about that. We know that. We can quote that. If I shut off the PowerPoint of what, you could quote it back. But do you understand what the cross of Christ did? Do you understand that your sin was on Jesus? How many of you had a moment, maybe this week, maybe in the past 2 weeks or whatever, you did something really stupid, like Wendy shared with us, you did something wrong, and we know it was wrong, and we come under condemnation and conviction and all kinds of different things, and But it's at that moment when you're in that place and when you recognize it, we get to do what? We get to stop at that cross and say, what did the cross of Jesus do? And then we go, remember, this changes everything. This changes everything. And maybe we have to go back to somebody and apologize for a harsh word or just make it right. But with God and you, it's good because the cross of Christ has changed everything. As a believer right now, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. How many of you feel that? Some days, yes, some days, nay. But again, when we have those moments, when we just don't feel righteous, when we don't, do we go by what we feel or do we go by what he said? We're going to go by what he said. And he said, say this with me, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you believe it? And let's get that in our hearts. That's who I am. That's because of what Jesus did at the cross. Now, are you righteous? Oh, you don't sound like you believe it. Are you righteous?
Yes.
There you go. Here's Psalm 5:12 says, the Lord declares this, surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. Are you righteous? You surround them with your favor as a shield. Okay, righteous ones of God, you have the blessing of the Lord God, and he has surrounded you with his favor. Do you believe it? You see, the cross of Christ has changed everything, hasn't it? You don't have to achieve it anymore. You believe it and receive it because of Jesus. We're going to look at 4 points this morning at how the cross of Christ has changed everything. Now, I want you to understand we're just looking at the cross this morning. There's so much more beyond it, and I'm not going to pretend that I'm going to even be able to cover everything that happened at the cross. But we're going to stop at the cross this morning because I think you might want to go home and have lunch, and we have a barbecue this afternoon. And I do want you to be there. And like I said, if we start doing everything, even John said, if we wrote it all, the miracles that Jesus did, there wasn't enough books in the world to contain all the promises. The same with all that he's done. Okay, so the things I want you to see is there are 4 things that Jesus removed by going to the cross, removed from us. So at the cross, Jesus removed our sins. He is the atonement for our sins. And Isaiah 53:6 says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own ways. And the Lord has laid on him, speaking of Jesus, the iniquities of us all. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was the sacrifice once to take away the sin of many. How many times does he need to be sacrificed? For all. Psalm 103:12 said, as far as the east is from the west, he's removed our sins and transgressions from us. We sang a song this morning. I want to remind you, are we under the old covenant? No, it's been fulfilled in Jesus, and we're in Jesus. We are under the new covenant, the new and living way. And we sing this song all the time, and I bet most of you don't even know this. But wait, I'm getting ahead of myself. The old covenant required something. It required the sacrifice of animals, a sacrifice that was continuous. Even once a year, we all know that the priest used to go in, take the sacrificial lamb for the atonement of the people. And he was the only one allowed to go into the most holy place and sprinkle the blood of the sacrificial lamb. And how many times did they have to do that? Once a year, every year, plus all the sacrifices that went on. Okay, let's say, you know, you said, let me pick on ladies this time. Maybe you said something not nice about your mother-in-law. It required a sacrifice. Taken, your sins required sacrifice. And so you'd prepare a lamb and take it to the priest, and the priest would lay hands on it. You'd lay hands on it, commit your sin, you know, onto the head of the lamb, and the lamb was sacrificed, and your sins were covered. Okay? Old Testament. That was a covering until the Lamb of God, until Jesus. And that changed everything. We sing the song, My Redeemer Lives. And the author of the song, in his, he or she's words, it says, His blood covered my sin. Well, you know what? We change it in ours. His blood does what? Removes. And we sing it that way because that's the truth. His blood is not covering our sin anymore. It has removed our sin. How far? East from the west. We're under a new covenant, and the cross of Christ changes everything. We don't have to sing. We don't have to sacrifice, and we don't sing. He just merely covers our sin. He has removed our sin. Jesus changes everything. The cross of Christ is a turning point in the covenant. It's a place where the promise that God made to Abraham, we've moved into it. It's come into fulfillment of the whole world being blessed. God made a promise to Abraham through you, through your seed, capital S if you look at it. Not seeds, seed. He was referring to this, the son, the lamb that was going to come through the seeds of Abraham, through his family line. And the whole world was going to be blessed. Are you blessed this morning? I'll tell you what, if you know the Lord, you're surrounded in blessing like a shield. And favor of the Lord is upon you. Because the cross of Christ has changed everything. Moving on to point two here. At the cross, Jesus removed the wrath of God. Jesus is our, big word, propitiation. That's a theological word. And what does that word mean? He took the wrath of God for us. He became our sin. He became our substitution. That's not what propitiation means. He became our atonement. He assumed our obligation to our sin. He assumed our guilt, and he received our punishment. He is our propitiation, which means, the word propitiation means, he's the one who is appeasing. He is pleasing and make calm the person who's annoyed with you. It is winning favor and avenging anger. Averting anger. So, Jesus took the wrath of God for us, therefore removing it. So when we hear people talking about things happening in the world and saying it's the wrath of God, it was poured out on Jesus for all mankind at the cross. Stuff happens because people do stupid stuff. Jesus took the wrath for you and for me. We are going to see a day what's called the right white throne of God. In the end times, there's two thrones. There's the throne of Jesus and the white throne of God. The throne of Jesus for believers, where we're going to stand before Jesus and be judged for our works, and we're going to receive reward. We're not going to receive guilt and shame, and that's taken care of. And then the white throne is where the unbelievers, and that's where the judgment for them will come. And they will stand before the Lord, not in the righteousness of Christ, because they did not believe, but in their own righteousness. Well, you know what happens from there. But God, through Jesus, poured out his wrath on him. Aren't you glad? You don't have to face the wrath of God. It has been done for you in the name of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, through the finished work of Jesus. And it started at the cross. Well, the wrath was poured out on the cross. So why did God need to remove his wrath that way? Like, why didn't he just calm down and forgive us? Forget about it, right? Take a chill pill. What was the purpose? He did this so that we can experience the love he has always had for us, the love he has always had for you and me, without compromising his justice and his holiness. When somebody wrongs us, we want justice. We want to see it, some, you know, the penalty happen and all that. The penalty has happened for the injustice. Jesus paid the price. And the thing is, when we have want, you know, when you sit and, I want justice for this, don't forget there's somebody who might be saying, I want justice for this against you. But aren't you God? That we can walk in the forgiveness and the mercy of God. And that's what we're seeing, is the mercy of God by pouring out and sentencing justice, or bringing justice and holiness through Jesus. Jesus is our atonement. And through him, God provided the means to satisfy that penalty for sin and extend to us mercy. How many are grateful for the mercy of God this morning? I know what I've done. I am grateful for his mercy. Romans 5:9 says, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from the wrath of God through him? It's right there in the word, saved from the wrath. Hebrews 12:17, for this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, so that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. 1 John 4:10, this is love. Not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his son to be an atoning sacrifice for us. This is love. He's extended his mercy, his love, showing us his love. John 4, 1 John 4:2, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sin, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the world. Amen? Amen. The cross changes everything. Let's move on to number three. Jesus, at the cross, Jesus removed captivity. He is our Redeemer. He removed our chains that bind us, the blindness that kept us from seeing. He's removed the darkness of oppression, possession, and depression, and the prisoners who are trapped in darkness. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoner and recover sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. Isaiah 42:7, to open the eyes that are blind, to free the captive from the prison, and to release from the dungeons those who are sitting in darkness. I'm going to say, man, our world today, there are so many sitting in darkness. They're trapped in these dungeons and this despair and this depression and this fear. But hello, church. The same words that Jesus spoke earlier, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is now upon you. And you can do the same thing Jesus did. In fact, he asked you to. There are people who need to know the truth, the good news of Jesus. Amen? Amen. You've got good news here. I have good news. Do you hear the good news? Yeah? Okay. Let's keep moving forward here. The next scripture here is Colossians 1:13 and 14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness of sin. Are you in a new kingdom? You aren't in the dark kingdom anymore, the darkness anymore. Jesus is our redeemer. Jesus is the ransom paid that redeemed us from captivity. Let me go up here. First thing he redeemed about this is, you were bought at a price. He is the ransom. He paid the ransom for you. 1 Timothy 2, 5 to 6, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for us all. He paid the price. Matthew 20, 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He laid it all down for you and for me. He paid the price. We don't need to pay it anymore. And if you find yourself thinking, trying to figure your way out of something, or you know what I'm saying, you get caught up in your sin thinking and your oh man, I just wish, what did the cross of Christ do in that moment? I don't want to fill in the blank, because you could be anything from being blind to being sick to being financially in need, or to just being so wounded in your heart. But what did the cross of Christ achieve? He paid the price that you don't have to sit there anymore. He paid the price that you can experience the freedom, the healing, the wholeness. He is our ransom. Keep going here. Jesus redeemed us from what? He redeemed us first from the curse. And I'll just read those scriptures. I'm not going to put them up there because there's a few of them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming the curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Hebrews 19:15 part B says, now that he has died as a ransom to set us free from sin committed under the first covenant. So he's paid the price. He's freed us from the guilt of sin, and we are all justified. This is saying, okay. Romans, it says, all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ. We are redeemed, from the power of sin. I'm sorry about that. Romans 6, 14. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law but under grace. How many have taken time to memorize that one? You are no longer under the law. You're under grace. Sin cannot be your master. All right. Jesus redeemed us to something. He received the blessings of Abraham. Galatians 3:14. He redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Hello, Gentiles! Through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit there. He redeemed us to eternal life. John 3:15 says that, so whoever believes in him will have eternal life. He redeemed us to an inheritance. In Hebrews 9:15a, the first part, it says, for this reason, Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, and those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he died as a ransom to set us free from the sins committed under the first covenant. How many are glad you got an inheritance? And, let me go back. Colossians 1:12. And give joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. He's redeemed us to being a temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. He's redeemed us into the kingdom and position. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Kingdom position. So how many of you know that you're priests, you can go out and preach the gospel? You've got position and power, you're kingdom people, you're children of God. Hello. Come on, folks, speaking of children of God, we've been adopted and have sonship. That's what he redeemed us to, what Jesus redeemed us to. Galatians 4:5 says, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption into sonship. Because you are sons of God, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. And the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, Papa. You are no longer slaves, but God's children. And since you are God's children, God has made you also an heir. Amen. So, it's been a lot of scripture for us so far, and there's some more to come. Are you feeling encouraged? Are you feeling built up? Are you feeling equipped? Or are you just feeling hot? The word of the Lord is powerful. It's like a going to do. Let it pierce right through to where it needs to go. We're going to go to Titus here. This is from the Passion Translation. He sacrificed himself that he might purchase our freedom from every lawless deed. Let's just stop there. That he may purchase you from every lawless deed. You've been purchased at a price. Every lawless deed, past, present, and future, he has already paid the price. That he may purchase our freedom from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people who are his very own, passionate to do what is beautiful in his sight. That has been one of my prayers for the last while. When I pray for our church family, when I pray for other believers I pray for, that the passion of Christ would stir in our hearts again. That we'd be passionate for the things of God. We'd be passionate for his church, our brothers and sisters. We'd be passionate to do what he's called us to. Not merely do it because we're supposed to, but we're passionate about it because we're so in love with him, so in love with what he's done. Now, passionate doesn't mean you're going to look like the next person and how they present passion. Some people are quiet and some people are more expressive. But that your heart is just stirred. Stirred with such love for God. Knowing him so well, your first love. And going out and sharing the good news. Going and knowing and wanting to be with God's people. And I'm sorry, even folks at home, I'm going to kind of rag on you a little bit about this. If there's no other reason for you to not be here, then it's just easier to be at home in your pajamas and in your with a cup of coffee. Get your butt back here. I'm sorry. God said, do not forsake the gathering of the believers. And if you can say, well, I just don't get enough out of the service, okay, then, what are you supposed to bring? Because I'll tell you what, I read many scriptures that say you're supposed to be encouraging the brethren. You're supposed to be here encouraging the brethren. You're supposed to lay hands on people and see them recovered. You're supposed to pray for the oppressed. And I'll tell you what, there are some days where Pastor Shannon or Pastor Ralph and Jamie maybe just need you to be here to encourage us. We need you to be here in the seats. And this is the word of God. This isn't the word of Pastor Shannon or Pastor Ralph. It's the word of God. Do not forsake the gathering. When Ralph talks about the home groups, and as we meet in smaller groups, sometimes it's just way too easy to be involved in so many other things that we don't have time. But it's important. And those small groups, you get to know each other better. You get to go to a place where you can trust them, where you can share the deep things of your heart and that you need prayer for, where you can share and pray for one another. It says, come in James, it tells us, come together. Is it James or John? First John. We need to come together and pray, confess our sins to one another. That you may be, what, Betty?
Healed.
Because the prayers of? Who's righteous here? You all said so in the beginning. Because the prayers of the righteous person accomplish much. Don't let the fears of the world keep you from being here. Because you see, you're the righteous one. The ones that are blessed by God. You're surrounded by his favor. That includes protection. Amen? Oh, I better be careful. I'm going to get preaching. Ephesians 15:5 says, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. It's his pleasure. It's his will that you be his children. Amen. Oh, man, it's good. Because you see, the cross of Christ has changed everything. Last point here. Oops, let's just get back. At the cross, Jesus removed the alienation and the separation from God. He is our reconciler. And reconciliation, thank you for saying it out loud. I need to hear it. Is restored favor. It is the transforming and the moving us from the separation and the hurts and the brokenness of the place we were into union or reunion with God, into healing and wholeness, into the forgiveness and the love of God. Romans 5:10-11, for while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only so, but we boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received this reconciliation. Colossians 1:21-22, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Here's a question. Do you feel holy? Do you see yourself without blemish? And do you know there's no accuser in heaven? The accuser of the brethren is the devil, and he'll accuse you, but it's not the Lord accusing you. Right? Okay, let's move on. 1 Corinthians. Okay, let me tell you. This is one of my favorite scriptures. We'll make a correction. It is 2 Corinthians. It's not 1 Corinthians. That's my typo. 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Yes! The old is gone. Yes! The new is here. Hallelujah! All of this is from God who reconciled us through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay. That doesn't mean we get to sit on our butts. We take the good news out there. That God was reconciling just a few people to himself in Christ. The whole world. Hello. Someone's reading their Bible. Not counting people's sin against them. Wowzer. How many of us have said, oh, look at they're just, you know, we see some of the stuff that's going on out there, and we want to hold it against them. God isn't holding it against them. We've got good news. Doesn't mean they aren't doing it. Doesn't mean they're saved. It doesn't mean they know. But we've got good news to share with them. Good news to share with them. That God isn't holding their sin against them. We are therefore ambassadors, and as though God were making his appeal through us. God, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who knows no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. We've already read that this morning or talked about that. Can you see how great that little chunk of scripture is? I dance it, I read it. I am new, old is gone, God's reconciled me, I have a ministry, I'm going to go out and share this good news. I'm righteous. There's so much in there. But alas, we've got to keep going. John 14:16, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. There's no other way that you're going to get to the Father with except through the cross of Christ, the finished work of Jesus. But what a work it is. Look what it did. Why would you want any other way that requires you to do something other than to believe upon the finished work of Jesus? This is the gospel of Jesus. The good news. He and his cross is the way back to the Father. Jesus is the way back to the family. Because the cross of Jesus has removed our sins because he's our atonement. Has removed the wrath of God because he's our propitiation. Removed the captivity. And removed our alienation and separation from God. The cross of Jesus has changed everything. Amen?